How low below asking price should you offer on that home that you are interested in? That's what Michelle and I are going to talk about today. My name's Corey Mills. Obviously, I'm here with Michelle Castle on the Unlocking Doors podcast. So, Michelle, we've seen some properties that have sat on the market for a little while in this market. Some of them are taking a little bit longer. Some of them not quite as long. Whenever you have buyers that talk to you about financing, they say, you know, because they talk to you about their offer just as much as they talk to us realtors sometimes.
Right.
What do you do whenever they tell you, hey, we want a lowball? Like, what is your first thought that runs through your head?
Well, I mean, number one, first, really, how long has the house been on the market?
Right.
How many price reductions has the buyer had or seller had? And I always, you know, I've been a buyer and I've been a seller plenty of times, so have you. And I think there's just so much more to the story than just the number on the listing, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of position is the seller in? Why has it been on the market? Was it priced too high in the first place? There's really not a generic answer for that. And I still, but a lot of times why the buyer's asking that is because they just want to be able to afford the house and feel like they got a good deal, right?
Right.
And I always think, a good deal is really a state of mind, right? So if you paid full price, you don't feel like you got a good deal. But you don't know if you got a good deal because maybe the house just was reduced, right?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, and then we'll talk about some scenarios. I want to ask you, like, statistically, what are buyers paying? Like, how much off sales price is, or what does that look like right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So in December of 2023, we saw that buyers were paying in here in Grayson County, Texas, they were paying roughly 91, 92% of the listing price. And that was of the original listing price.
Sorry.
I have to double check that. I think it was the original listing price.
Okay.
So that takes into account if they had already reduced that a time or two. In January, that was 94%. Now we're around 96%. So as we get into the spring market, we're seeing it pick up a little bit. People are paying a little bit more of a listing price. And so it does, and I agree with you 100%. It's not just a, what percent off should we ask? You know, that's not to say that every single listing that hits the market, you're going to get it 96% of the listing price.
Right.
So that is something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
You said you had some scenarios.
I think about, well, so often right now, buyers are wanting seller concession, right?
Right.
And so to me, and I have seen, we've had several people miss deals because we're back to multiple offers.
Right.
So they're wanting to offer below list price and ask for $10,000 in seller concession or more in some cases. So if you're going to ask for seller concession, realizing you can't lowball too.
Right.
So I had a customer that I was just talking to. I mean, the list price is $260 and the offer was going to be $245 and they were asking for seller concessions.
Right.
That's way off the market.
Yeah.
And so, but it was a way for them to afford the house.
Right.
Well, maybe you're shopping in the wrong price range. If that's what, you know, if you need to structure the offer that way, that's, I mean, maybe I'm thinking wrong on that and you've got a different take. I mean, would you present that offer?
So I would always present the offer. Cause here's the thing. And whether it's my listing or if I represented the buyer, I mean, if I represent the buyer, like, I'm sending the offer.
Okay.
And I'm like,
look at you. I'm sending the offer.
Yeah, like,
because you just never know.
Maybe it's going to work. Also, if I am representing the seller and I get an offer like that, I'm going to send it to them and I'm going to give them a net sheet that shows, like, based on how the offer is written, here's what they're, you know, here's what you're going to walk away with. Here's the terms. Here's the timeline. And there's sometimes where a seller is begging for an offer like that. And maybe they were hesitant to drop the price for whatever reason, but whenever an offer comes in, like I do have a listing where I know that they have some flexibility, but they don't want to drop the price. They're like, no, the price is what it is.
Okay.
Or we're going to ask what we're asking, but you know, we'll look at all offers. And so it's kind of interesting that some people have that mindset. Ultimately, it's not my property. It's not my money. And I'm not going to be the gatekeeper of somebody's decision, you know, with their property and their money. I'm going to let them know what I think. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let them know the pros and cons of each offer.
And you're running a CMA on each one.
Yeah. And I'm also running a net sheet so that they can see very closely what they're going to walk away with. Because I mean, first off, if you're a real estate agent and you're not sending a net sheet with every single offer that you get, I mean, your sellers deserve to see that. If not, like I have taken listings in the past where, and this is like a huge side note, but I've taken listings in the past that expired at, and then I'll just use the exact numbers. So it was listed at, they started at like 650. By the time they had dropped the price, at the end of the listing period of 6 months, it was like down to 600.
Okay.
So they dropped it 50,000 in the listing period. And then whenever I took over the listing, I asked the buyers, well, what's your payoff? You know, y'all built a pool and financed it. What's the payoff for that? And at their 600,000 listing price, they were going to have to bring like 15,000 to closing.
Did they know that?
They didn't know that.
What?
Because their realtor didn't tell them.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely blew my mind. And so that's why I'm like, number one, if you're listing a property, like before you put it on the market, send them a net sheet so they can see what the numbers are. And when you get an offer, send them a net sheet based on how that offer is written. And even, I mean, even if you want to, you know, counter offer and y'all want to run a scenario, like just take the time to do
it. Well, I mean, to your point, how many, I can't remember how many points in the contract is a negotiable item, right? And dollar signs associated with a lot of them. And so unless you analyze what does that offer really mean to my seller, or as a buyer, understanding what you're asking the seller to pay for, yes, you may have just checked the box that says the seller's going to pay the title and the home warranty and the survey and this and that, plus pay closing costs versus maybe checking some of the other boxes differently to help them net more makes it make sense. At the end of the day, you're just, you're negotiating a deal that makes sense where the buyer and the seller both win. And so, taking the time to really look and see what am I asking the seller and what's my expectation of the buyer? That's what makes the deal work, right?
Yeah,
I think the biggest frustration is communication, to your point. I mean, if they're, if the listing agent is not doing, or the seller's agent is not doing that net sheet when you as a buyer's agent are presenting that offer, then how do you know if you got a deal that would work?
Exactly. And that's, you know, I learned that probably like in my first or second year in real estate, whenever I got an offer that it had some terms in there that I was like the, they sent it over, the buyer's agent called me and he said, let me know what you're, you know, here's what we're wanting to do. Let me know what your seller thinks. And I straight up told him, I was like, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. He's probably not going to go for it. I'm going to send it to him and talk to him, but just, I'm just letting you know, it's probably not going to work. And it was an owner finance scenario. And I didn't think my seller would want to carry it, you know, carry the paper. And I sent it to him and he was like, oh, this looks like a good deal to me. He was like, I'd love to finance this for him. And I was like, as soon as he said that, I was like, you know what? This isn't my property.
You might have missed a deal.
Yeah. It's not my money. It's not my property. I don't get to make the decision. So that's why as a listing agent, and there's also the whole conversation of like, well, I don't want to lowball them and piss them off.
Right.
But I mean, it's, we're not sitting here saying, hey, your house is ugly. Hey, your hair is ugly. You know, like we're not. We're not insulting.
Don't take it so personal.
Don't take it so personal. And that's,
it's just dollars and cents.
Maybe it's a little different because you and I buy and sell so much property.
Can take the emotions out of it.
And we look at it, without, you know, throughout the, without the lens of emotion tied to it. And maybe that's part of it, but I have some people who just get straight up. They're like, I don't even want to talk to these people anymore. And I'm like, Let's give them a reasonable counter offer and see what they say. And then we're right back on track. So, I wish I could, you know, give people like how low is too low of a low ball, but there's not,
That answer though. Try it.
Yeah.
It's dollars and cents. It either works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't work there, maybe it works somewhere in the middle and that's the whole name of the game.
Yeah. And don't get upset whenever somebody sends you an offer. Cause really what they're, when they send an offer over, what they're saying is, I like your property. I have this money that I can qualify for and I'm going to send it to you. So you know, if you're going to get mad at anybody, get mad at the people that look and don't make an offer.
Well, and they don't like your house. To wrap it up too, is still, even in the market we're in right now, homes are bringing pretty close to what the asking price is.
And there are, I mean, there are properties that are still getting multiple, like I had a listing get multiple offers this weekend. Sean had a listing get multiple offers and then he represented a buyer that got multiple offers. And that's just this weekend, you know, going into spring
Maybe
break.
It's shortage of inventory. It's also because there's more buyers out there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. So, and the funny thing is like with Sean's listing, it had been on the market for like 4 months
and then it gets multiple offers.
It gets multiple offers in the same weekend. And of course everybody's like, you're lying. You don't have two offers. And it's like,
yeah, I really do.
I really do.
Yeah. But it's also prettier outside. Yep. So if you're going to go house hunting, you're not going to do it when it's 30 degrees and 33 degrees in cold rain.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that's all we have. If you have questions on how to structure an offer or what the financing needs to look like to make the deal work for you and make it work for the seller so that we can all come to an agreement, be sure and reach out to me. Once again, I'm Corey. This is Michelle Castle. We hope you're doing well, and we'll see you on the next episode of Unlocking Doors.